This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, perform properly and trying to put on the show the way that it needs to be put on, which is fine, but you'll lose it. So you need to take some time and reflect upon your intention before you pray. It's very, very important, or else you'll lose yourself. Especially you guys attend the tazkiyah, so you understand that you're here for the ajr. And the ajr, a part of your ajr is the service you're offering the people behind you as you lead, making sure that they are benefiting from the recitation and benefiting from the actual job that you're doing. But that won't happen if you don't have the proper intention to begin with. So make sure that that's a piece of your preparation. Like when you come in for salah, you know that you're praying today, you're going to be leading today. Make sure you take a moment to think about these things. Process the whole concept that I'd be standing up in front of people. I have to ground my intention and make it sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping obviously to benefit people as you go through it. The reason that we're training you a little bit is so that you can do it properly, and that you don't stand there and just completely make a mess out of it. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't care of how you're performing and how people are benefiting from what you're doing, but if you're not careful, you can get lost. You can become all about the performance and all about how people are perceiving you, whether they're liking it or not, whether your voice was nice that night or not. And I don't think that's the right way to pray, right? Because you're losing the ajr of salah and then you're ruining a Ramadan. You're better off just praying at home alone or just praying in ma'moom quietly and focusing and learning. So that's why when you're young, this is more difficult. As you get older, as you do this more, it'll become easier for you. You'll get more skilled in kind of focusing your intention. But you do need to work on your intention and perfect it for Taraweeh. And if you feel like you cannot, and you're not doing that, then you need to talk to me, because maybe you need some time off, or maybe you need to kind of work a little bit, stay in the behind lines for a while before you kind of stand up front. Or else you're gonna end up harming yourself in the long run. Are we getting it up or? Why? Turn off the jurisprudence, maybe. We have two open. You have one open there. You have too much. There you go. I think I have too many things open at once. It loses its ability to. Okay, we're good. All right, no, we're good. Are we? No? Like when I walk away from there, it just helps. Wasn't it good?
My casting presenter.
Yeah, just cast it. I just cast it. So if you, what do you press for presenting? You do like slideshow. Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd say don't do it that way. Try. I don't know why. I don't know why this works in other zone. Okay. So we talked a little bit about intention. That's the first thing. There you go. Second thing in the wudu. So because you're leading prayer, your wudu matters more than anyone else's wudu behind you, right? Because you're leading the prayer. So if someone doesn't have wudu, they just harm themselves. If you don't have wudu, you're harming everybody and you're ruining everything. So you have to make sure that your wudu is appropriate. You're doing, I use the word the ablution, but I'm talking about everything. Going to the bathroom, make sure that you're taking care of your tahara. Make sure that you make a full wudu without the socks. Like take off the socks, make a full wudu before you pray. Wiping on the socks, okay, if you're praying alone. If you're being imam, don't do it that way, because some people don't accept that opinion to begin with. So to be kind of respectful and mindful of other people who have different ways they don't, but that's, you know. So it's a matter of amana. Like you know that you do, as an imam, you have to do things that encompass include everybody, that open up the door for everyone to enjoy what's happening and for everyone to feel trust in what's going on. When you're praying alone, do what you want, but when you're being imam, you take extra care of your wudu, take extra care of how you go to the bathroom, and make wudu not on your socks, like appropriately the way you would do Yeah, because you are carrying this amana for everybody else in front of behind you. Dress code, make sure you cover your head. You come here without a cover on your head, I'm booting you out that door over there. You come here with something on your head. You have to have a taqiyya on your head, right? And if you don't have one, find someone to give it to you. This is important. It's not fard in salah. None of these things are furud, right? These are just sunan that you could easily pray without them. However, because we are, again, we're trying to serve the people behind us, so you don't leave a reason for someone to criticize something or to feel uncomfortable about something. That's your job. So you're, this is your job. Your job is to make everybody feel included and comfortable. So a part of that is a dress code. You don't come, labisli jinzu or bijama. You come, you're wearing something appropriate. You have a little taqiyya on your head, and you don't wear anything compromising, anything that can, anything see-through or something ripped. Don't come with socks with holes in them when you make sujood. We can see your foot. Take care of this stuff. This piece here is important. Again, when you're praying alone, none of this matters. When you're praying imam and people are behind you, you don't leave. This is your job is not to leave room for people to feel uncomfortable. That's your job. That's what we're doing here. Are we trying to make people feel uncomfortable in their prayer or actually enjoy salah? That's the answer. A question you have to ask yourself every time. I'm here to allow people to enjoy this experience as much as possible. So how do I do that? Well, I take care of this and this and this. I take care of certain things. So I don't come in dressed in a way that some people will look as, why is our imam, look like he just walked out of a mechanic shop? Why does our imam, imams always have something on their head. It's actually a sunnah for you to cover your head when you're praying as an imam. So make sure you come in with this stuff. And I actually had ordered a bunch of hats and stuff in September. I ordered it in September from Turkey, and they still haven't sent it to me. Wallahi, it's like 9 or 10 of them with a small imamah and stuff, just in case people want to wear stuff. I'm very upset that they haven't sent it. I ordered it in September so that it would be, I still don't have it, so I don't know if I'll have it before Ramadan. But make sure you have something like that when you're coming in. Just find someone who has it. But honestly, there's no tawaqi in the world anymore. Khalas, we're out. Yeah. Cover it up with a taqiyya. You try to lessen these stuff. I remember you were praying once, and on the back of your thing was like a tiger who was staring me in the face. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm standing right behind him. I made the mistake of looking at, because something flashy. Look up, there's a tiger going like this to me. I don't know exactly what. No, don't do that. Be very careful. These things matter. These things, you'll be surprised at the stupid stuff that people will come and talk about. And I shouldn't say the word stupid, but the simple things that people will come and really, get upset about. And honestly, why? Why open the door to that? You can say, this is not important. I agree with you, but you're not here to defend yourself and to being combative. You're here to serve people. So lessen any reason for someone to feel uncomfortable by doing things by the book, by doing it exactly the way it needs to be done, so you're dressed appropriately, so there's no room for anyone not to feel comfortable about it. Again, we're professionals, we're doing this the way it needs to be done. Why? Because our goal here is to help people, be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I know that I wear it dressed in a certain way, and the person behind me is gonna be obsessed or thinking about the thing that I'm not doing right, and they're not gonna be focused on their prayer, you can say, that's their problem. Sure, but why? My job is to help them. So maybe I can help them by just doing this right. Does that make sense? This is my philosophy. This is what I think. And this is how the Prophet ﷺ would do stuff. He cared more about people's outcomes and what they would benefit from. So he would do things in a certain way. So those are the three things. Cover your head, wear something traditional, and beware of compromised clothing. You're wearing something wrong and you make sujood and I can see the little thing in your back. And dress in a way where you're covering everything up and we're not seeing stuff we don't want. But, go back a bit. Okay, Surah Al-Fatiha. So Al-Fatiha has to be very clear. You cannot mumble in Fatiha. It has to be very clear. You have to have a flow. I can't have you messing up Surah Al-Fatiha where you're losing breath or falling out of breath and running out of breath at a certain point and then going back again. And no. The flow has to be very easy. You have to ease people. Sheikh Al-Karim kind of talked about, you have to ease people into the recitation with the flow that you have Surah Al-Fatiha. Have a system. Meaning every time you stand to read Surah Al-Fatiha, this is the system. You don't play around with it. Until you are a master of vocals or the ilm that Sheikh Al-Karim was explaining to you, do not play around. Just the same recitation every time. I recite Surah Al-Fatiha exactly the same way every time I pray. It helps people get into a system and a rhythm. It just comforts them. If every time you're reading it differently, and then you're messing it up, and يَاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَيَاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ هُدِينَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِي صراط الذين, I will kick you, يعني in your behind. No, you stop at the right places. Whatever it is you stop, just get your system for Fatiha. Make sure you say, yeah, that's how you always do it. Every time you say Fatiha, this is how it comes out. It's nice, it's a nice flow. Everything is clear. Why is it moving on its own? And then make sure that you say Ameen, yes. So don't read Fatiha differently every time. Unless you have two systems that are screwed down perfectly. Meaning you have two ways of reading Surah Al-Fatiha, but you know how to do them really well. Don't make up new ways to read Surah Al-Fatiha every time you stand to read Surah Al-Fatiha. Just read it in a certain way and read it that way every time. Just for Fatiha, because it's very, again, it sets up the stage for what's coming next. And then when you're reading the verses, that's different, yeah. So if you read Fatiha 3 or 4 times, just say 4 rak'at. How many different ways am I going to hear Surah Al-Fatiha from you? Different in anything.
4 times.
Yeah, I'm going to hear one way repeated 4 times, right? That's what I'm going to hear from you. One way. If you do have two ways that you have perfected, like you perfect, they're perfected, so you know how to do them, then you can alternate, fine. But I don't think you're there yet. Maybe you are. I'm not. It's one way. I just read one way. And then your qira'ah afterwards is like what Sheikh Abdul-Kim explained. But Fatiha, just stick to one way. Remember, like Sheikh Abdul-Kim gave you a few points. Memorize one way to do it. Get it down like to the detail and just read it that way every time. It really does calm people. You know, it eases people into the rak'ah and it calms them down because you're not struggling. You're not jumping up around back and forth within the Fatiha. Fatiha has a nice flow. It's a system of recitation. You know exactly where you stop. Yani when I, for example, in Taraweeh, الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. That's where I stop. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. I stop. Then إهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. I do it all at once in 3 sections. That's how I do it. Sometimes إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إهدنا الصراط المستقيم. So I have 2 ways of kind of breaking down the sections, but I know them really well. I've been doing them for over 20 years, so I'm comfortable, and I won't play around too much with Fatiha. So it's pretty simple. So you should do the same thing. Have a system, have a flow, and then say at the end, Ameen. You're as an imam, you're supposed to say Ameen, yeah. However you want, just make sure it's audible. So, Walallin, Ameen. Like I say it that way, and then they want to say it longer, they want to, whatever they want to do. Like you're not waiting for people to work with you. You're doing your own thing. You're reading Fatiha, you do your own Ameen, your own recitation. They're just there to enjoy the ride. That makes sense? Like you're just kind of, you're providing everything, yeah. No. And don't wait for anything. Ameen. Take a breath and go on. Don't give people any time at all. Not even Isha. We don't do that. We follow the, even though like I'm teaching Shafi'i fiqh, but we're following the Hanafi and Hanbali opinion on this, and we're, yeah, even for the faral, we just keep on going. Because the Shafi'is have a way out of it, meaning the ma'moom is not accountable if the imam is not giving them time. They can just start reading, and if the imam starts to start, they can stop, and that's good enough for them. Very important. It has to be clear. Do not mumble stuff. Practice Fatiha. Make sure that all the letters are coming out right. If you have a letter that's not coming out right, that's going to be a problem. There's going to be 4 times that's going to come out wrong. There's going to be 4 times you're going to listen to something wrong. So make sure that you work on Fatiha, perfect Fatiha, and before Ramadan is a really good thing to do. And make sure your system is nice, you have a nice flow, and then say Ameen at the end of it. Takbirat. So a voice and tone when it comes to the takbir. So if you're in sujood, right? Close your eyes, act like you're in sujood. You're not seeing the imam. And you hear, Allahu Akbar. Do you expect the imam to be standing up, ready for Fatiha? What do you expect the imam to be? See? Because of the tone. Allahu Akbar, I'm definitely standing up. So you say Allahu Akbar, and then I'm sitting down, and half of the people are standing up because there's the guy who's doing it doesn't understand how to do tone. Like, just, if you're continuing, give it a little bit of a movement. If you're done, bring it down. Like, bring it down a little bit. Like Sheikh Abdul Karim was explaining, kind of up and down. So the voice and tone for takbir has to be appropriate with what's happening next, right? If you're ending the rak'ah, it should have a certain, it should be more, okay, it would be lower tone kind of towards the end. And if you're standing up, then it should be a little bit more kind of active and in a higher level, higher volume. And make sure it's audible. Again, I can't, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. No. I have to hear it. Allahu Akbar, give it a nice, this is takbir, right? And you're doing it. People should be doing it behind you based on the fact that you're doing it. So give it, make sure it's audible, make sure it's clear, and make sure that you have a nice tone to it with your voice when you're moving around so people know what's happening. Timing, so it really depends on what, if we're standing here, you should go down, Allahu Akbar. So you should kind of say it towards the, Sami Allahu Liman Hamidah, easy. It's when you're going down or coming up that people get a little bit confused. So I usually tell people who are new, say takbir when you're on the ground, because they don't know how. Either they'll say it up here or they'll say it down. I'd rather down there, because if you say it up here, Allahu Akbar, the guy is already on the ground and you're still just kind of bending your torso. So it's better to say it down. But the right way to do it, and this is the, yeah, now that you guys have been doing this for a few years, you know, I would do it this way if I were you. I would just go down. The moment my knees hit the floor, I say Allahu Akbar, and then you're close. And then they can't beat you in terms of speed. And then when you're coming up, it's okay to kind of be almost standing before you say Allahu Akbar. That's fine. Like if you're coming up from sujood, kind of be almost standing just before your back is straight, you can say Allahu Akbar, and that's fine. And give them a moment to everyone come up and then start reciting Yani Surat al-Fatiha. So those timings are important. Just don't, make sure you don't say Allahu Akbar and then move. It should be you're moving, saying Allahu Akbar, or towards the end of the movement. Try not to do it at the end of the exact end of the movement, like after the movement is done. Try not to do it after you're already down there because people get very confused. I used to tell them to do that because they don't know. I've tried the other part. I try to tell them, do it as you go down. That just means for them, Allahu Akbar, then they go down and then it's a mess because now people are already on the floor and they haven't made it down yet. So I tell them, just do it after you move. But the professional way, the proper way, the sunnah way, is as you're going down towards, coming towards the end, you would say Allahu Akbar and then people would follow you. Does that answer your question you were asking about? Okay. Or did you have a different question about takbir? That was it? Okay. I don't memorize them by heart. Like I don't. I need these cues to remind me of what I'm going to talk about. Okay. So the movement of prayer. So the method and the duration. So when it comes to movement, how you move specifically here is kind of when you're going down. Don't fall. Don't fall down. Don't slam into the ground. Right. So either go down with your hands first or go down with your knees first. Either way, it's fine. It doesn't make that much of a difference. But make sure that you don't make too much noise when you're making these movements, and make sure that the way your feet look when you're sitting. Do I talk about that? I think I talk about that, or do I not? No, I don't. So I'll talk about it here. So make sure when you're doing julus, so stay away from this one. Okay, I don't want to see this. So get rid of this. So either this, where you're sitting on one and the other one is up. Either way, yeah. Or just easily. Very simple. I use this because my feet don't work anymore. So that's it. But don't do these two ones standing up. That's the one that the least evidence to support. And again, we're trying to stay away from controversy in Salah. We don't want people to see something and say, well, he was praying like that. And they have to explain to them, well, this Sheikh, this Imam said, I don't have time for this. Just get out of the controversy that we don't have to answer these questions. Yes? Yeah. No, you can do either. You can do either or. Yeah, no problem. So that's for Julus. Yeah, no, you can just put them on top of each other or whatever you want. If you have a broken foot, that's a, no one's going to hold you accountable for that. For Ruku'ah, yeah. No, so don't do this. Don't do this. It has to be up. If you're going to put them down, just put them on top of each other. Okay? That makes sense? Okay. For sujood is easy. But for Ruku'ah, I think that's important. So, no. No. You're not looking at your socks. So you're going to expand your hand. Yeah, you can extend your elbows. It'll be straight. You're going to hold on to your knees, and you're going to have your back nice and straight, where I can put a cup of water on it, and you'll be looking down right there. Okay.
Not like this.
Not like this. But like this. Yeah, you can eat like a cereal or something off the guy's back. Yeah. Yeah. No, so their back is supposed to be straight, so if they can't extend their arms, they can have it on the outside a bit. Very rare, that's very rare. Usually there's like NBA basketball players who can't do this, but the majority of people are able to do that. Here. I mean, go do it again. No, straighten your arms out, and straighten your, you're good. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, no, that's good. Your arms are straight, you're fine. It's okay if your arms are not fully straight, that's okay, but I don't like this thing. No. Or this thing. You see the difference? We're not like this, or like this. So that's what I want you to just, you know. That's what I care about in terms of the movements. And then duration. Duration matters. That's why Hamza has to be here. Because he's going to cause like a problem if he doesn't. So duration is important here. I can't, yani, you just, it's very simple. You go down, Allahu Akbar. Subhana rabbiyal azim wa bihamdi. Subhana rabbiyal azim wa bihamdi. Subhana rabbiyal azim wa bihamdi. Sami Allahu liman. I don't have to, I say, after Hamza, I say Subhana rabbiyal azim wa bihamdi. 5 times, 7 times. I do Subhana al jabaruti makuti kibra al azma. Subuhan al quddus. It's tahajjud, ya shaykh, khalasni, up. Again, you're in tarawih. You want to leave the masalli behind you who hoping for more. We're not marathoning the salah, like we're not jogging through it, but we don't want to make people bored. That makes sense? That's the key here. You make them, they're praying and they're always hoping that they're getting, that we get a couple of more seconds of everything. That's why that's how they're enjoying it, right? That they want you to give it more time, not less. So when it comes to ruku', just do, Sami Allahu alhamdulillah, Rabbana wa lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fihi. If you want to say mi'lis samawati, that's fine. If not, then you're good. Just go down. You don't need to make sujood. Subhana rabbi al-a'la wa bihamdi 3 times. Make a simple dua. Up. Rabbi ghfirli, rabbi ghfirli, rabbi ghfirli, rabbi ghfirli, rabbi ghfirli. 5 times if you want to do it because it's short. And then sujood. So keep the timing. Yani, keep the timing well. You exaggerate the timing. It can make people very tired. You can take more. Like the salah, whole salah get convoluted. And then people stop actually enjoying praying behind you. And they won't. Like you're distracting them because not everyone knows how to, like if you're like, oh, I'm fine, I can do ruku' for another minute and I'll still be focused on the tasbih and the concept itself and I'm enjoying it. Most people don't have that. They weren't educated to do this. They don't have any training and they don't know what they're saying and they don't even understand what they're saying. So you want to keep them, you know, you want to kind of give them something that they can deal with. Does that make sense? So you don't want to make it too long. So the duration for the movements are very important for me. Even when it comes to praying, yani, like a fard, when you're standing, for example, in this third and fourth rak'ah, you're not reciting. Only recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Recite it moderately. Like, don't do hadr and don't do tahqiq. Do tadweer, like something in the middle. And then go down. Don't stand there for another, you know, extra 30 seconds while everyone's standing behind you like, we're done. Fatiha's finished. I don't know what else to do. Most people don't know what to do. Like, you should say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, until the imam makes rukuh. But most people don't know that. So just read your Fatiha and then go down. And if they're still not done, they can take a second and finish and then follow you. It's not a problem. The thing that, and then for Julus, Tashahud al-Awwal, again, don't take too much time for Tashahud al-Awwal. Every time he prays, I'm praying to God that he doesn't think this is the second Tashahud. Because I'm always like, Ya Rabb, Omar doesn't think this is the second Tashahud. He's going to say, Allah, and then I'm going to have like a big fuss. Because you make people worry. Like, does he know that this is the first Tashahud or not? So just be careful with that. So just go through, again, just say it normally. Once you're done, if you're like, was I too quick? Do a tasbihah and then get up. Right? If you're worried, like, was this too quick? Say Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim, and then go. So you're just adding that little piece. If I don't know if I was too quick. That's all you need to do. Don't sit there thinking about yani what you're going to eat after you're done, or yani, wondering about assignments and stuff. Just you have to keep it moving. You're much better than you were before. But there was a couple of times where I was like, oh, I hope Omar knows that it's going to. Because people get worried. And then. And the shahud, same thing. Don't make it too long. Like don't stretch it out. But don't be too quick. If you're too quick, then and people don't get through the salawat al-Ibrahimiyya, then they wonder if you even got through them, and they start wondering if you know how to pray altogether. So it's important that you give that enough time. So that's just around duration. Most of you are good at this stuff, so it's not a problem. But just watch out for the timings. The timings here, the duration of every movement is actually very important, and it makes a big difference. So the rak'ah duration. So this is just helpful because these are calculations I've done over the years because I prayed. This will be my 20th year, of doing Taraweeh like publicly with a khatma. I started when I was 17. I'm 37, so this is like 20 years. Actually, 21 years now that I think about it. Last year was 20, but anyways, it doesn't matter. Like it's been, I've actually done 8. I've done 20. I've done different things, and I've actually calculated them. I put a timer, like for a couple of nights in a row, to see exactly how each rak'ah takes and how much. It's just to have an idea. So if you have a it's 7 minutes for each, for 20 plus rak'ah tarawih with khatma. It'll be 7 minutes per rak'ah. That makes sense? And then 12 minutes for an 8 plus 3. And it might be a rak'ah, not one rak'ah, I mean two. I mean a collection of two, sorry. Like that's, I should have said that there. I don't know why I didn't. So I'm talking about like the collection of two, two rak'ah tarawih. So it's 7 minutes when we're doing 20. If you're reading a full juz, obviously, with a khatma, then 7 minutes is all you need because a page by page, 7 minutes. Then if you're doing 8+3, so you're doing 2 pages in a little bit, then it's usually around 12 minutes. And then 10 minutes for a 10+3, which is what we're doing here. We're doing 10+3 witr, so it's around 10 minutes per each rak'ah with a khatmah. And then 3 or 4 minutes for a non-khatmah tarawih, and there's a sad face at the end right there, you can see. Don't pray that ever in your life, and don't be a part of that stuff. If people do non-khatmah tarawih, just let whoever wants to do it. Always be a part of a khatmah wherever you are, yeah. I don't see why you guys need one on campus. Who needs it? Like what is the population of students that require it to be on campus and can't make it to these centers around? Is my only question, that's all. So they wouldn't be able to make it to the masajid close by? It's hard? Okay, yeah, no, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm saying I think they would enjoy it more if they came to a masjid and kind of embarked on the journey with people and masajid and stuff like that. I think on your own on campus may not be as enjoyable. It's up to you, however you want to run, that's totally up to you. I think doing a khatmah on campus may be hard. I think it'll be difficult. I don't think you guys can do it that there. But I'm saying for you, like as someone who will, you know, embraces Ramadan every year and cares, you always do a khatmah wherever you are in your life. If you don't find a masjid doing khatmah, just go home and pray on your own and recite the full juz. Yani, this is the month of the Quran. You just read like this up and down stuff, yani, where you're just kind of digesting the food that you ate and getting a little bit of a workout. That's not salah. Just be careful of these things. So full duration, so 20+1 will be around 1 hour and 35 minutes. 10+3, which we're doing here, will be 1 hour and 25 to 30 minutes. And then no tarawiyah should be less than 45 minutes in general. Ridiculous. The 15-minute, 20-minute tarawiyah has. That's not appropriate. So here it'd be around 1 hour and 30 minutes, like 1.5 hours altogether, from the beginning till the end. And these are just calculations. Witr and dua, always remind people before you start. Always tell people this is shafa'. This is watr. Always say it. Huh? Yeah, yeah. Tell, remind people because they have no idea what's happening. Most people have no idea where they are anymore. They're just praying. So let them know that this is shafa'. This is witr. Make sure you make that announcement. Specifically, it's your turn. Don't make me hound you, like, remind them, just make sure you do this. Remind them for Shafa'ah, remind them for Witr. And stick to 2+1, never do like the 3 at a time. Not that it's not acceptable Islamically, it totally is, it's a part of the madhahib, but most people just aren't accustomed to it. They get very, very, confused. So say, we're doing 2 Shafa'ah, and then this is 1 rak'ah of Witr, just easier that way for most people. Dua should be 10 to 15 minutes, it shouldn't be more than that. I know, you don't have to tell me. I know what I do, but for you guys, 10-15 minutes tops. Don't go beyond that. Once you build enough merits in your community, you can do whatever you want. You shouldn't. Yeah, I know. But that was the end of the khatma. That was the khatma dua. Yeah. That was that's the khatma. That's the khatma. I've brought it down a notch a little bit in the last few years, but still, the khatma dua is supposed to be around 30 minutes or more. Like, it's supposed to be that. But for regular witr, 10-15 minutes tops is what it's supposed to be. We're not trying to make people tired, but honestly, no, people don't really do dua outside of Ramadan, so it's an important time for them to kind of embrace and learn. So I was thinking, I don't know, I think the better thing for you to do is just go back to the recordings of Tarawih of last year, and just listen to the first 3 nights of Tarawih. And those are the day that you should memorize, the ones that I start out the month with. Fine, just run things by me. Just because sometimes, or tell me what certain things that are, if you're going to say something out of what you should. Yeah, certain adi'ya can be aggressive. I don't agree with them outside of this country, even. Like, I don't agree with being very aggressive in adi'ya. But just for your own sake, so that you don't say something and then people don't know. Yani, so, but no, you're welcome to be creative and to look for what other shuyukh do. I don't have a specific curriculum of dua that I need you to adhere to. I just need you to have like stay within the realm. So I can send you some stuff, but I think it's just better for you if you just take an hour or so and just go through the first 3 nights of Ramadan last year and just write down like the stuff that you heard or memorize a little bit of that, and that should be enough. I'll look it up for you. Just thing is, I don't know where to. Yeah, 10 minutes I think should be. Yeah, I usually start with some hamd, right? And I think we talked. Do I talk about that for a second? So I talk about that here. I'll talk about it in a moment. Just avoid repetition. So the moment you feel like you don't know what to say next, you're going to repeat something you said before. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى وصحبه اجمعين. Go down. Don't repeat the same dua. Like, don't just repeat it hoping to remember whatever it is that you forgot. Huh? Yeah, avoid that stuff. Huh? Avoid that, and I'll talk about that in a moment even. Avoid repeating yourself for any reason. You're not, and don't do that. You say, well, some sheikh do that. Yeah, when you're at that level of that sheikh, go ahead and do whatever you want. You don't need to listen to anything I say. But now that you're kind of just learning how to do this, and you're kind of building your repertoire and building also your skill set, and then just listen to, just do what I'm telling you, because this, you want to pick up, you want to get in the right habits, and then later on you can kind of go away or go astray from what I'm telling and do your own thing and follow your own rules, but you'll do that based on your own understanding. Yeah. Nice. He's very he loves his friends and the friends of his friends. He's very open-minded. Jazallah khair. No, you can ask. I've done rad in dua. Like, I've had young people, like a Hamza, and I think someone would make dua, and then I would correct them, like in dua. Like, they're making dua and they forgot what's next. I just tell them what's next and they keep on going. So I don't mind doing that for you. Like, I can help you. Sometimes you forget things. But in general, if you had like a, you know, you had one more dua you're going to make and you forgot it, don't repeat stuff. Just end. It's okay. You'll do it. You'll get another chance. Like, it's not a problem. But repetition is a big turn off. It's not, people don't like it. Yani. So avoid it, yani, as much as possible. Always start with the praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're okay just starting Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt. There's evidence for that. But I prefer you not to. Always start with some form of hamd. Allahumma lakal hamdu, yani hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi hamdan yuafi ni'amaka yashkuru mazidaka yadfa'u 'anna niqamaka. Allahumma lakal hamdu hatta tarda, lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu wa ilayka yurja'u al-amru kulluhu. You can share these slides with everybody, huh? Just after the end. Yeah. Yeah, but don't do that. Just start with hamd. Look, don't get too creative with stuff like at the beginning. At the beginning, just stick. So here's the thing. In everything you do in life, when you're just learning, stick to the rules, the basic rules that you're being taught. Yeah. Yeah, just stick to the hamd. It's the hamd for now. Again, people get very confused with stuff like that, yani. But maybe tasbih you can do like in munajah, or you do it in du'a al-khatim or something, a little bit of that. But in other salawat, we don't have, like in normal witr, we don't have a lot of evidence to support that that he ever did that, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's not wrong, but there's no evidence to support it. And it's takes a good chunk of time out of your du'a, so it can kind of tire people. Again, I want people to pray behind you witr and hope for more. And wish you, fimta alaykif, I don't want it the opposite. So that people tell the story later on as they tell it of mine. And 45 minutes, broke our feet. So you want to kind of keep, so it's important to kind of keep that in mind. Starting with a long thing is acceptable, but I'd rather hamd. Yeah, you can take a good amount of time just doing hamd, that's fine. And tasbih is all right, as long as you don't spend too much time doing it. Like, because Ajmi would spend like, I don't know, 10 minutes just doing that. And, sure. Organize your dua and prepare beforehand. So make sure you have like three sections or four sections, and four little paragraphs of dua. I'll make dua for this, I'll make dua for that, I'll make, just have a couple of things. It doesn't have to be too colorful or too, you know, creative. Just something simple is very nice. Control your emotion as much as possible. The sobbing imam is not a fun imam. Like the guy who's, you know, you can't understand anymore at all, but, you know, every time they make dua. No, try to control yourself as much as possible. Also, at the same time, with the right intention, try to find, you know, some joy in what you're doing. Try to find some khushu, inner khushu when you're doing it as well. So just be mindful of these things when you're making. Not supposed to, but if you do it, it's no big deal. But it's not, tajweed should be, like some scholars are okay, you know, allow people to read with tajweed, like books of fiqh and books of hadith. Most scholars aren't like, there's a lot of difference of opinion here. I'm not a big fan of it. I feel like tajweed is a Quranic thing, maybe not. But if you do it, it's not a problem. Like, I won't fault you for it. And always end with salah al Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So make sure that you always end your dua with salah al Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And I always kind of have, like, I always end every dua, Allah, yani, Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana fi akhirah. Like, that's my little, you know, cliche at the end. and so on. So have your little cliches, like how you begin, how you end, and then a few things different in the middle. I'll send you some stuff, inshallah, anyways. But maybe just do that. Just listen just for your own, you know, kind of... All right. Mistakes during prayer. This is very important. When do you need to make an extra sujood? So, and when do you not to? Very, very important. So if you're making ruku and you stand up and you say Allahu Akbar instead of Sami'allahu liman hamidah, you don't need to do anything. Don't make sujood sahu for that. Like that doesn't require anything. If you're coming up, however, from the first rak'ah and you sit down, and you're supposed to stand up and do a second rak'ah, that requires sujood sahu. If you're coming up, you're supposed to sit down, but you stand up, you think you have another rak'ah and you don't, then that requires sujood sahu as well. So make sure you know how to do sujood sahu. Allahu Akbar, you go down. Allahu Akbar, you sit up. Allahu Akbar, you go down. Allahu Akbar, you sit up. And then Assalamu Alaikum right away. Right? Because you're going to have already done the tashahud and salawat Ibrahimiyyah before you do sujood sahu. And that's the easier way. Yeah. No. So you go back down. You make sujood sahu. And then you make sujood. No, so you don't. Yeah, you just sit down, and then you say, Allahu Akbar sujood, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, because you know, as acknowledging of your mistake. What else things have? So if you forget Fatiha at the beginning, for example, you were just starting the surah, you don't need to do sujood sahu for that. You don't need to do sujood sahu for that. For the majority of opinions, others think that you should, but I stick to the one that you don't, because you just it's not really a. It's a recitation, it's not a movement. Like I think sujood sahu is mostly for remembering or forgetting movement, or extra or less movements. Yeah, so we're not going to do that. We're just going to stick to the again, there's different madhahib and different ways of doing this. We're going to stick to one way that's simple, people understand, so that we don't confuse the heck out of them, because it can be very confusing. Finish and you can do sujood sahu, people have no idea what's happening. No, you can't. You can only not do that if it's Isha, or Dhuhr, or Maghrib. Also, meaning for the first tashahud, you can't sit down again. But this is the second tashahud, like, or this is the final tashahud, right? In two rak'ah, this is the final tashahud. So, no, you sit down because this is the rukn. But if you're praying a four-unit prayer, like Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha, and you stand up, like if you're doing Isha, and you stand up instead of sitting for the first tashahud, you're already standing up and say, SubhanAllah, you don't go down again. If you go down again, you invalidate your prayer. Tubtul salatak and salat liwaraq, because you're going from a rukn to a wajib, and that ruins prayer. But in Taraweeh, this is the only tashahud. So, the intention was two rak'ah. You can't pray a third. If you pray a third, you invalidate your prayer, because the intention was two. You can't do three. Okay? I think that's it. I'm trying to think of what else. If you have any questions, you're welcome to ask. I had a better list in my mind about what you requires and what doesn't. They're all going to come to me after we finish this, and I'm going to start running after you guys to tell you. Yeah. Yeah, so definitely. I think I put that there somewhere. It'll come up. But yeah, you're right. So if there's a sajda tilawa, you're responsible for turning and saying there'll be a sajda tilawa in the first or second rak'ah. You have to announce it clearly. Don't mumble it into the microphone. Make it clear so people know, because people don't know what's happening. And then you're going to the ground and people don't know why. Some people don't even know what sajda tilawa is. And they're like, oh, this imam is crazy. He's making sajood before he's making rukur, and they don't know what's going on. Yeah. And then when you come up, you don't recite Fatiha again, eh? So when you come up, you don't recite Fatiha again. I used to make that mistake a lot for some reason. I used to always come up and just recite Fatiha again. And they would tell me, like, I wouldn't listen, I just keep on going. And it doesn't make a difference, but you shouldn't do it. Like, it's not appropriate. And keep your composure. When you make a mistake, don't worry. Don't calm down. No. But I find people get, like, very tense and they get, they start to panic. Don't panic. You're fine. You made a mistake. It's not a problem. You'll hear me behind you or someone kind of coaching you or what to do, like in terms of what to do next. Do what you remember, and just don't worry. Everyone makes mistakes. It's totally normal, but it's important to kind of stay composed when you do, so that you can hear whatever the cueing behind you is, so you do the right thing and you don't get completely lost. You haven't had a lot of problems with these, but I just want to bring it up in case you end up having them. So most common mistake, forgetting the first tashahud. Obviously, this is an Isha. I'm not going to give you a lot of Isha, honestly. I'm not gonna give you any Isha. Isha, you have to prove to me like a few things. You have to. I think at this point we have enough huffal. I think you have to have an ijaza. And I think you have to be a little bit more committed to this if you want to pray Isha, because Isha is like it's the most important prayer of the night. Basically, it's more important than the Tarawih and the Witr. So I won't be giving you Isha this year, most likely. But yeah, I do want you to keep make sure you know these things. If, for again, for the sujood, you're standing up, you don't go down, you can't go down, back down again. But then you do sujood sahw at the end. So if you're standing up after the first sujood and they say subhanallah, you can't go down, you stay there, hold your ground, people will just follow, and then you make sujood sahw before your taslim because you missed the first sujood. Forgetting which rak'ah you're in is another common thing. And if you forget, just do what you think is right, and then if someone cues you, just respond and make sujood sahw at the end. And saying the wrong takbir, as I gave you, you say, Sami Allah and Hamdi, say Allahu Akbar, for example. Or going down, you say, Sami Allah, it's okay. These don't need to require anything. Like the first line behind you, myself. You know, subhanAllah, and if you don't understand, I can cue you with something different. I'm allowed to. Like, I'm allowed to, there's a little bit more leniency for me as someone who's kind of coaching you to kind of tell you what to do. Even if it validates my prayer, but I'll still tell you what to do. You can listen. Mistakes during recitation. So speed, not too fast, not too slow. Again, too slow is my biggest problem. So Sheikh Abdul Karim told you what to do. Told you to slow down a little bit here and there. Yeah, don't. Don't slow down. Just keep on going. Do not slow down at all. Slow down in later on in life when you're a bit more experienced, when you have you have your maqam and your rhythm and your tone, you know, perfected, you know what you're doing, then you can go ahead and make some slowing down. I think you just keep on going. Again, I don't want you to be reciting at a speed that people can't understand what you're saying, but just get on that rhythm and just move, right? Because this is an hour and a half and people get tired quickly. And we're trying to help the people behind us to pray. I don't want them to leave. I want them to pray. How? We have to make it available, reasonable for them. So keep on that speed. Calmness, keep your composure always, especially when you mistake. Don't lose your mind if you forget something or if you make a mistake. Just pause for a second, let the person behind you correct it, move on with your life. Just keep on going. Don't get too, everyone makes mistakes all the time. It's a part of this whole process. So, yeah. So we tell people, we ask people not to do that, but no one. Abbas will yell at it from the middle of the masjid over there. I tell him, please don't. I correct people. I give you some time, and I sometimes let certain things go if I feel like you're struggling. It's okay because this is not any musabaqa for anything. So we allow that. But if you make a mistake, if you hear something behind you and you feel like you're making a mistake, just pause. Most of the time, I will correct you when you take a breath. So if you recite a verse and when you take a breath, I'll correct you. And then you can go back and you can get corrected. Yeah, so, and that goes for Hamza as well. He should definitely not panic when he's... Yeah, and then if you're slow, you get one strike with slowness. If you're slow, one strike, and then the next time you're slow, you're out. You have to keep up. The thing is, slowness last year, Sheikh Abad al-Azil Khair was amazing, but it was very slow. It was taking a long time for them to get, and the people getting tired. So just keep the rhythm going. I'm not saying that you read unclearly. I'm not saying that you ruin tajweed. No, all that has to be observed. And if I feel like your tajweed is not good, I'll ask you to stop. Or I may defer you, lessen your sections until your tajweed is up to date and proper. But keep the rhythm running and moving so that people kind of enjoy what's happening. Yes. Yeah. When you feel like making a mistake, pause. See if we're gonna correct you. If we don't correct you, keep on going. Right, so whenever you feel like you made a mistake, just pause, and we'll tell you if, of course. But I mean, you won't even have the time. People will jump at you before you. No matter what I tell them, they're not gonna listen. So if you feel, just make sure you hear what's being said, so that you know what the mistake is. Because the biggest problem is that you don't pause long enough, you don't listen, and then you don't know what the mistake is, and you go back and make the same mistake again, and then we correct you, and now you're going to make another different mistake because you're focused on the first one, and then it's a complete mess because we haven't been able to just, again, stay calm, hear the mistake, and then correct yourself when you... They'll pray up front. Yeah, they get in front of... Yeah, as long as they're not standing right in front of the imam who's there, it's fine. As long as they're not right in front of the imam, it's not a problem. They can pray up front. You don't see the Taraweeh in Haram? Where do they pray Taraweeh in Haram? Yeah, but where are they praying? They're not praying in front of the Kaaba, the imams. They're up way behind, and then all the people are praying in front of them. So this is not a problem. Only the Hanafis are extremely, extremely against this. And still the Hanafis have some of their scholars who see permissibility in certain situations. The rest of the madhahib with a darura, with a need, it's fine. And the need, and right now, this is the space. I can't go pray. We don't have a mihrab up front. It's not set up that way. So we'll be praying here, and then people can fill up this space up front, and that's not a problem. For sunnah, it's definitely not a problem. For fard, it's a little bit more. There's more controversy around it. But I'll give the fatwa beforehand. And if you're not comfortable, okay. If you came here and there's no space here, and you're not comfortable listening to what I'm to the fatwa, then go pray somewhere else. There's no problem. But there's no problem with people praying up front, even for Jummah. Yeah. No, this will be split, and they'll be split. So men and women here, men and women there. We can't kick the sisters over. That's not nice. You know, they're coming to pray. You know, again, you don't feel involved when you're put in a little box somewhere. You don't feel like you're a part of much. This I know that this is not optimal because the space is small and it's not huge, but they feel involved and they feel that they're a part of everything going on. And honestly, for men, I don't understand what the bother is for men. Men are coming to me with this problem all the time. I don't understand. Just don't look behind. Just hold basar like yaqeen, look for why you care. Why is this a problem for you? You come to the masjid, just why are you looking? Just look here, look at me. I'm not good, I'm pretty enough. Just look at me. Stay up here front. Let the sisters pray behind. There's not a problem. Why are we so uptight? No, we have to have a curtain. Why do you need a curtain? Why are you looking? You have eyes behind your head. You just stay towards the qibla and you're fine. It's not a problem. This is something that the sisters actually, it really does bother them. And we've surveyed people and we've done, when you slap a big curtain in front of people or you remove them to a different part of the masjid where they're not involved, for them, they feel disengaged and they feel like they're not, you know, we don't want them to come. And I don't think that's fair, especially in the time that we're living in. We need to open, you know, make sure these places are welcome for everybody. So this place will be men and women, and up front there'll be a space for the women and a space for the men as well. Yeah. Oh, no, you have to be here early. If you're leading, I start my dars at half an hour before, right? Within the first four or five sentences of my dars, you better be walking in. You have to be here early. You're leading. In tamajjahid salli, like everyone else, you're leading. I need you to be here early so that you can, your parents park without a problem. You don't have to be walking with your feet on top of people because you want to get front because the place is full. You just walk, you sit up there, you take your spot up front, you do your muraja. I have zuhurat, you can pour yourself a nice cup of zuhurat and drink your zuhurat with asad and enjoy yourself. But I need you, if you're praying or you're backup, just make it, just come early. Just make sure you're here earlier. Again, this is you're a part of the service. You're offering this as a service to people. You need to show up, Yani, for things on time. Repetition, don't repeat from the beginning. You repeat once from the beginning, you're done. I will not, so if you recite a verse, and then you stop in the middle of it, and you go ahead and you start from the beginning of the verse again. Khalas, we're done. We're not friends anymore. Yani, we're not gonna. Do not do that. So when you stop, whatever verse that you're reading, when you stop, go maybe two or three words before and continue, or continue from where you left off. Don't repeat the verse from the beginning. Go two or three words before. Go back to the beginning of the ayah. Like, don't go back to the beginning of the ayah. Don't do that. That is like really. That's very bothersome to everyone who's listening to you. Don't do that. I cannot emphasize the importance of not doing that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so back up. If you're a little bit coming in a little bit later, that's fine. Because you'll know if the person's not showing up a bit earlier, so that's okay. But if you're leading, I expect you to be up front earlier on. Again, this is all about professionalism. This is a month where you are offering this service, you're a part of the of what we're doing here. You need to be professional. If I'm here, you should be here. Like we come together, we leave together. We make sure that we run this appropriately. We're prepared. You know, we know what we're doing. And the repetition part, I think, what was an example? What's a good example here that maybe you should think about? Everyone does it, and I keep on asking people not to do it, but they don't. So example, what I mean is like, you're saying, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ. Why? Just كَمِّلْ وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. Or go back وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Why are you going to the beginning again? Don't go to the beginning again. Like, don't go to the beginning of the ayah. Like, Like if you lost your breath at a certain point, go back two or three words, right, and continue. If you go back to the beginning, what are you benefiting? Nothing. You're just going to lose your breath at the same point again. So what's the point of going back to the beginning? Yeah. So that's obvious. I can sense when it's a forgetting thing, but when it's not forgetfulness, it's just you're just being cute. Don't do it like that. Don't do it because you want people to enjoy the ayah behind you. We enjoyed it. Go on. Keep on going. It was very nice. Jazakallah. Keep on moving. Again, as you get more experienced and as you get older, as you perfect your craft in doing this, you'll know how to do this stuff a bit better. Like, you will become much better at doing this. It won't be a problem. But for now, just stick to the basics. Don't repeat. Like, if you started in one point, you started with A, you read to the point B, right? You lost your breath. Go back. Don't go back to A. Don't start from A again. Don't start from A again. Start from a point just before B, or just continue. I won't hold you accountable if your waqf wasn't amazing. Like, that's fine. But like, that's musamah. If it's tarawih, I'll point it out to you. I'll teach you. You, like, we'll have someone who's specifically holding the mushaf, probably one of the backup people. Like, if you're backup that night, you'll hold the mushaf and you'll correct. So the person who's correcting is responsible to stay awake during salah and know where the guy is. So the best thing is when I have someone standing there to correct, and the guy who's correcting lost focus long time ago, he has no idea where the person who's reading is, and other people are correcting, it's the best. If you're responsible to correct, then you need to stay focused so that you can help them, because it's important. And then agree on a system of how this will work, meaning make sure that you know you're going to be corrected for everything or not. That has to be something agreed upon within the masjid. Because no one else from other masjids are attending here, I'm just talking about our system, but other masjids may have a different system. We're not going to correct unless the meaning changes or unless there's kufr or something. No, here I correct even a waw or a fa. Even if it's walladhina instead of falladhi, I will correct you. Why? Because people, everyone can't wait for you to, so yes, we correct everything. It's good for your hivl, then it's just better for the system, for the work in general. So conclusions, energy, have high energy when you read. So bring in, when you're coming in to recite, bring in the energy, the positive energy of recitation. So I'm not saying you don't read with a low tone or anything. No, Sheikh Abdul Karim, he's very correct with starting low tone. But that has nothing to do with the energy of your recitation. Like, the enthusiasm and the joy of it is something that should be clear. You shouldn't be coming and reciting and you're, upset or you're half depressed and you're bringing on a feeling that this is not... No, bring in the positive energy so people feel that, you're enjoying this, you love this, you're doing this because you really love the Qur'an, you want people to enjoy the Qur'an as well. So that energy is very important to me. And that energy is not something I can define for you on paper or equate for you with numbers. It's something more that's just, is based on your, inshallah, comprehension of what you're doing. So bring in that energy, let people have a good time. Like, it's a positive time for all of us. We want to come on that positive note and really, really enjoy what we're doing. So bring that positive energy when you're doing it. Consider eating habits. So if you're praying imam, you're not going to come here and burp falafel into my face or kubbi or whatever. You're going to come here with a little bit of soup and tamar and water, and you're hungry, right? Don't worry, we're both. It's fine. We'll pray. Lebanon is fine. So again, I'm not saying that you have to starve. Some people are asking me, can I eat a salad? Yeah, you can eat a salad. Like, I'm not saying that you can't eat anything. I'm just saying, this is not your full meal. This is just something to keep you going so that you're standing here, you're khafif, you're able to recite, you have that energy. Again, if you come here and you're full, your energy is going to be low by default. You're tired, like your body's, all of the blood is gushing towards the gut to digest the food. So nothing's going up here and your energy is low. So just considering these eating habits is important to Allah. Know your part well, memorize well. Keep your composure. I've said that three or four times. Keep your composure. Don't panic. Don't worry. Everyone makes mistakes all the time. I cannot tell you. Oh my gosh. I can't tell you how many mistakes. Oh, honey. The poor people who had to pray behind me the first few years of what I was doing. It was not very fun for them, I'm sure. Just learn to keep your composure. Calm down. Okay, you make a mistake. Just listen, correct, move on. Don't let that one mistake ruin your rak'ah. Don't let a mistake ruin what you're doing. No, enjoy. It's fine. Everybody, ya Sheikh, Shaykh al-Haram make mistakes all the time. Enjoy what you're doing. People make mistakes at all times. It's nice. No big deal. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Like I'm not bothered if someone's making mistakes in qira'ah. I'm bothered if you're not preparing. Like if I feel like you're not coming, like if you're not professional, I get bothered. If you come in, you're not dressed properly, you don't come on time, you're not doing your muraja'ah well, that bothers me because you're not being professional. I need you to be professional. You show up and you're trying your best and you're memorizing and you're reciting what you know and you make some mistakes, that's fine. Everyone makes mistakes. I let Usama pray every year and Usama butchers his thing every single year. And he tries hard. He just, you know, he struggles with the you know, the kind of the public thing. He just struggles with that. That's not a problem for me. Yeah. This is just an issue of experience and training. Like, I think what I can say is just, you know, again, your intention. I don't look back. Only recently, since I ran a masjid, I actually look at people. I used to pray and never look back at all. I stand up there, my face is, I just read until the end. I just keep on going. I don't even look back. Even after salah, I just look down. I don't look at people. Like, I'm not like, I'm focused. I'm doing this for me. I'm listening to the Quran. I'm reciting the Quran. I'm trying to listen to what I'm reciting as well so I can enjoy it too. I'm not interested in who is there and who's watching and who's listening. If you're always looking at people, you may see someone, and the nafs will say, sometimes the nafs likes the intention of a specific individual for some reason. This happens even for people, public speakers. Sometimes you're a mimbar giving a khutbah, you see somebody, and for some reason your nafs is like, Fulan is seeing you, try to put on a good show. Right? And it starts to ruin your intention, so you have to kind of learn to kind of, you know, dodge that. I'm not giving the khutbah for one person, I don't care what they think, or I shouldn't care. So how do you kind of dodge that? You come early, you sit up there, and your face is that way. So the masjid could have 2 people behind you or 2 million people behind you. Doesn't matter to you. You're standing there, you're focused on your work. And then, you know, and the reason that, you know, and because there's no perfect way to fix this, I coach and I train and I get you guys to have these sessions and I let you pray up front and I start you with the small surahs and I give you what you want. And because it's going to take time for you to get fully comfortable to do this. So it's not something that, there's no, you know, quick fix for it. Like it's an issue that takes time. I'm pretty sure you guys remember what it was like for first time or second time you guys prayed, and then how things got much better as time, you know, progressed. Yeah, I remember. Maybe you don't remember. I remember how you guys were when we first started out. Most of you guys prayed in LMM at some point. Either your first time was 2 rak'ahs in LMM. I remember what it was like. I remember this. I remember the your voices. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It's not his voice, but he can barely stand on his 2 feet. That's fine. It's totally normal. It's no issue because I know what this is. Like, I've done this before, so I understand it and I don't hold you for it. But again, it takes time. So practice and training. You start sometimes in small groups, like maybe doing tahajjud with a couple of friends, praying imam, getting used to that feeling. And then so you don't start off at a big stage or a big masjid. That's not fair to you. Yeah. 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 You have no idea. Huh? Yeah, you can have a blank. If your nervousness can cause you a blank out, you have no idea what's next. It's okay. Again, keep your composure. Calm down. Let me tell you what it is. Take a deep breath. Go on. Don't let it ruin your citation. Don't let it ruin because you're why? Why? You got it, inshallah. You made a mistake. Just enjoy what you're going to do next. So people, you know, people don't care about this stuff. Really, no one has time to count your mistakes. So, but you want to do it right, so you don't want to make mistakes, and I understand, we all don't. But keep your composure, very important, just calm down, take a deep breath. Deep breaths are very important, and so I just take it. Listen, make sure that you're getting corrected, you understand exactly what the mistake is, so you can correct it, and then just kind of refocus again. Some days, depending on the days, but there'll always be someone here to listen to you. Like, we'll make sure that system is put up, so someone here to listen to you. Sheikh Ra'id specifically will be responsible to help you guys to hear your ajza, like what you're going to be reciting the day before. And Sheikh Usama Gangat will also help you. I would highly advise that. I would highly advise that you recite at least once to somebody to hear so that you can figure out where your mistakes are and where your weak spots are so that you can, you know, work on them a little bit. So, and also the earlier during Asr time, the better. So you have time to kind of work on your, you know, your hifz. And you guys don't have a lot, 6 pages at most for any of you, I know, for a certain day. Recite 6 pages, just make sure that you're comfortable with them. You know, and because you can still be very comfortable making mistakes, there's no way around it, but it's just, again, we're trying to cover our bases here and be as professional as possible. And then know the fiqh of being an imam well. I've explained to you, just make sure you take some time and read and know how to lead and know what you're responsible for, what's expected of you, and how to do it properly, because that's the conclusions of this, what I expect you to do. So that's the end of my presentation. If you have any questions, I'm happy to take them. Yeah. What do you want to ask? Does anyone have a question? I think I asked most of your questions throughout the session, but if there's anything specific that you didn't ask, you're welcome to do so. No. Let them fix you. Let them correct you. Let them correct you for your own sake, because there's no harm. Yeah. Yani. In salah? I mean, I'll completely never let you hear the end of it, but it's okay. I will remind you of it like every time I see you. Because again, you want to try and, this is what Sarawiyah has for, you try to fix those stuff so that you can, you know, perfect your recitation, your ahkam, and your tajweed, and all that stuff. But no, I'm not going to hold you for anything tajweed during prayer. Sometimes, if it's really bad, like if there's like a qalqala and you like tahmisha or something, like it's very obvious, I will, you know, kind of, just for your own sake, to cover your own bases, and because people come and say something to you. Again, my job is to protect you and make sure that you're supported in what you do, that no one hears, you know, no one comes and bothers you with anything later on. So that's just kind of my mission. Bring this. No, I inshallah, sir, you know, make sure you work on your intention a little bit and think about that and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the sincerity and the tawfiq and the facilitation of you doing it well, that Allah accepts it from you and from all of us. It's important to kind of always ground yourself and go back to these basics. There's a lot of ajr on imam if you do it well, because you're getting the ajr of the action. If your intention is in the right place, you're getting ajr of serving the people behind you. You're doing it, I'm trying to make your salah nice. I want you to enjoy this. I want you to have a good experience. I mean, I don't know. I guess for some people, maybe, if they find it really, really difficult. But most people enjoy it, so I think it's a bit too easy, but something to think about. Anything else? Okay, we'll end with that. Inshallah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. Thank you for coming and putting up with this and sitting through it. Inshallah, one day you will share this with others in the future as you train your...